Let's go.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Bless You Boys podcast. Bless You Boys is your home for all things Detroit Tigers baseball, the SB Nation platform. And I am your host, Brandon Day, and with me is my co-host, Ashley McLennan, and we are both just cracking up because we are currently watching this stupid baseball team about to beat Cleveland for the second game in a row somehow. Andrew Miller meltdown on the mound, and I don't know what's happening.
He shaved. He did shave. That's a new development, apparently. I don't know who let him do that when you have a beard as majestic as Andrew Miller's. He has one of those faces that just looks right with facial hair.
Yeah, he looks weird without it. It's sort of like Alex Wilson. Like, when Alex Wilson shaves, it's like, oh, bro, nope.
Yeah.
You gotta grow that back.
Like, what is you doing?
Yeah, you lost all your mojo on the mound.
Apparently somebody was telling me that apparently Andrew Miller's kids didn't recognize him. And I'm like, I don't recognize him. Tell him to grow it back.
I know. Mickey Callaway wouldn't have let that happen. What kind of ship is Terry Francona running over there these days?
Just everything's falling apart. Shane Green on to close this game. Let's hope there's no disasters.
Yeah, I know. It would be a real bummer to lose this.
Daniel Stumpf got through a whole inning.
He did.
Loaded the bases and still managed not to destroy everything. So
I know.
I believe that this could actually happen.
Yep. And just the most random of, you know, like every ball going down the third baseline, uncatchable. Dixon Machado, Jacoby Jones doubling. Yeah, it's just... it's just bizarre world out here.
Weird, weird baseball.
Uh-huh. Baseball is definitely weird. It is a strange game and unpredictable.
Well, and especially in this weird, like, totally... I don't think anybody saw the AL Central turning out the way it has this season. Like, it's just... like, I don't even know what to make of it. It's like a battle of who wants to be worst. And somehow, as a result, the Tigers are coming out on top.
Yeah, I mean, the Indians have been just kind of a weirdly mediocre team in all sorts of ways. And everybody thought the Twins would be good, and the Twins are just kind of like, we got nothing. Like, Royals are terrible. White Sox are terrible.
The Indians are so bad that, like, and they're still number one in the division, but they're so bad that I've wanted to write a piece, and I may do this week still. It's almost unfair if the Indians get to go into the postseason just because of how bad the AL Central has been. There's so many other teams ahead of them in other divisions, like miles ahead of them, that it's just insane to me that we're not really, like, and I know so much can change in the next, 120 games that we have to play, but...
sure, but they definitely look like that team that could just, like, blow up the whole wild card system. Like, did you guys get in when you're this terrible and you're playing...
yeah,
all
it's like, here's the
games.
Indians getting to go, and, or like, even, hell, it could, you know what, honestly, I could imagine a stranger scenario than the Tigers somehow ending up at the top of the division the way that the AL Central's going.
Yeah.
Like,
some teams to beat
but
up
they
on,
sure as shit don't deserve to go to the postseason.
Nope, they don't.
Right? Like, nope. It's such a weird thing.
It's been a weird season. Like, you look around and there's three teams. There's Houston, Boston, and New York, and they all look like just absolute monsters. And everybody else is kind of this, just sort of this weird mess. Like, the Angels are kind of good, and the Mariners were kind of good, but that problem got fixed. Oops.
I'll be switching to that game next, but yeah, that's a dicey story. It was already bad enough with, like, Cano getting the handbrake off poor Blaine Hardy.
Yeah, Blaine Hardy with his preemptive justice in Minority Report fashion.
Yeah, poor
he knew
Blaine
what you
Hardy
did.
Like, got so blamed for that from Mariners fans for breaking Robinson Cano's wrist.
I actually apologized on his behalf. I feel terrible about that now. I take it back.
I tweeted that because I have an anxious personality. I do have anxiety. And, like, weird things trigger
so
anxiety. I know anybody out there that suffers from anxiety knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you feel guilt over things that you have no control over.
It's also called being Catholic.
Well, I have the agnostic version of that, which is what they prescribe Xanax for.
Yeah. I think every woman in my family suffers from some form of anxiety in that regard. Yeah.
Just so always... all day Sunday after this happened, I spent like hours and hours feeling for Blaine Hardy breaking Robinson Cano's hand. But and I like felt bad.
I know. I did feel bad about it. I did. Yeah. But as it turns out, Robinson Cano is a dirty, dirty cheater, bad cheater.
Yeah, and I've been talking with a lot of people about this, and it is one of those things that has a weird amount of nuance to it, but at the core of it, what it does come down to is that he's been busted for PEDs. He hasn't tested positive for the PEDs themselves, but he's tested positive for a diuretic that is most commonly used to mask or flush the system from PEDs, basically.
Yep.
And so what he's claiming is that he was prescribed this medication from a Dominican doctor for a pre-existing condition. And I grant you, I talked to, we have a doctor on staff at DeRay's Bay, and he was like, yeah, you use it for kidney issues, for heart issues. There's a ton of things that it can be used for. But as we all talked about this, any medications that a player is on have to be disclosed to a club because a lot of things can show up. Any pre-existing medical conditions, especially something like a heart condition, would absolutely be something the club would know about and know the medications that somebody was on. Stingreen just massively overthrew a pitch to first. God damn it.
Yep, there's two outs, but there's also Rajay Davis on second base, which is not good. Rajay can score on a wild pitch from here.
Oh, yikes. Sorry. Anyway, so he would have had to have disclosed all this. They would have known that he was on this medication if it was on the up and up.
And Robinson Cano is not a young player who just got tripped up by some rules he didn't understand. He's 35.
No. No, and there was, like, a couple of guys coming out, like, pitchers going, you know what, like, I had a heart thing, and I was taking these meds that were considered a diuretic, and it was such a pain in the ass to get a doctor's note, I just switched to the meds I was on.
Yeah, Dan Heron, I believe.
Heron, yeah, you're right, absolutely. And so, like, it's not something that's unheard of. It's not something that he wouldn't know or be able to talk to somebody on the team and how to deal with properly. So there's just so much fishy about his explanation.
Yeah, exactly. Because, see, that's what I'm going to come back to, is that, I mean, if you have some kind of pre-existing condition, then why aren't you telling us what it is? Like, you know, if you were
like
innocent, you would be out there.
Condition.
Yeah, you would be out there doing everything you could, you know, to make your case. And he's not doing that. In fact, the reason he dropped his appeal is because he's injured anyway, and the whole thing would just lines up better for him to start the suspension right now. I'm just not buying any of this. I mean, I'm an MMA fan as well, which has been, obviously, you know, it's just rife with steroids and performance-enhancing drugs and kind of has from the beginning. And I've just heard all this too many times about the diuretic and how, you know, you needed it for something else. And some random Dr. Benway, if anyone out there is a William S. Burroughs fan, you know, type doctor who's, you know, 90 years old and just an old script writer from the old school, who'll just write your prescription for whatever you want down there, somehow got a hold, like, this is the doctor Robinson Cano, you know, with his $300 million contract, decided to go to. I mean, it's all super fishy, and the fact that he didn't just come right out and admit it is just even more annoying. I don't know how you feel about, like, we haven't had a steroid conversation in the past. Like, how do you look at, like, guys like Bonds and Clemens and McGuire?
You know what? I'm of the pro Bonds in the Hall of Fame school. I don't honestly care as much as some people do about the PED thing.
Yeah.
But John Turpin from Lookout Landing, he made a really solid point in the post that he put up today.
Shane Green just got out of it. Good job, Shane Green.
Okay, oh, we won. Thank God.
Wow, we're up. All right, that's 2-0 on the Indians this series. That's just ludicrous. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My feed's behind, so he's still at an 0-2 count right now. Thanks, MLB TV.
Yeah,
oh, God, and the ball gets away. Oh, I hate everything.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that this ends well.
Yeah, but okay.
From the future, I appreciate your message. In Canada, all our games run 10 minutes behind. No, it's really like a minute behind, but it still sucks when I get all the notifications on my phone because it ruins home runs for me all the time.
Yeah, everybody's shrieking, oh!
Well, no, it's just like my phone will buzz and I'll be like, ah, no, I know somebody just hit something. So I have to mute games all the time. You know what? I'm not... John made this great point in his post for Lookout Landing about the Cano thing where he said, it's not the PEDs that bug him so much. It's the lying about the PEDs. I think I hate this notion that anybody thinks that we're stupid enough to be like, oh, oops, diuretic, didn't know. Like, Cano's been in the game for, what, 10 years? Like, he's been around a long time. He's friends with guys like Nelson Cruz, who he's seen go through this.
Yep.
He played alongside that New York team where you saw guys like A-Rod get real bit by the biogenesis thing.
Yeah, in like, the absolute media cooker that is New York. I mean, he's been through all that.
So he of anybody, knows exactly the scrutiny that goes under these things and how closely they watch it. So I don't buy for a second that he would take something without telling the team about it unless he knew it was sketchy.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand there are people out there making the argument that, you know, Robinson Cano has a guaranteed contract. You know, he was basically a bona fide Hall of Famer, you know, who didn't really have to do a whole lot more probably to get in. So why would he screw everything up this way? But, you know, you could say that about just a host of athletes over the years. Like, it really doesn't make any sense. You know, I don't think the average person understands what it's like to be an elite athlete and to feel those skills, you know, kind of slipping away and feel yourself losing it. You know, kudos to, you know, guys like Albert Pujols who just, you know, just suck naturally for a few years and,
well, yeah, you and know, did the best you let they it could, slump, you know? And then you hold on. Like, you can say the same thing. Like, why would Cano need to do it? But then you look at guys who are like 7+ years in the minors getting their call up and they get busted.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, some of those guys I can understand, like, yeah, they were desperate, you know, they were desperate to finally make the jump, but.
Yeah. But then at the same time, you know, they're not going to be hanging around long and they know that. And there's no real benefit in any way to doing it because you know, they're testing.
Yep.
Like, I think Kevin Kiermaier was joking in the off season that he got drug tested so often in the off season that he offered to let the guy stay at his house.
Yep. Like, it does seem like they pick a couple teams every year that way too.
Well, Thames last year was just getting like nonstop. Like,
yeah, Eric Thames for the Brewers. Yeah, they were just all over him because he's this muscle bound freak who just emerged out of nowhere, coming back from Japan and hitting all these home runs. You know.
Yeah.
So. I mean, and it really, I mean, and it's just a drag. I mean, it just really is. You know, I've never been like a huge Robbie Cano fan, but I remember writing an article a couple of years ago all about like the Kinsler Pedroia thing and how, you know, like Pedroia took Kinsler's job in college and how they've kind of always, you know, kind of like matched up with each other very well in terms of statistics. Their careers started at the same time.
Yeah.
I never compared either of them to Robbie Cano. Robbie Cano was on another plateau where it was like, okay, these other two guys and maybe like Chase Utley are fighting for second best over the last, you know, 15 years at second base. Robbie Cano always always stood above everyone else. And yeah, it's just heartbreaking. And it's heartbreaking, you know, for Seattle. You know, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for other fan bases, but, you know, they're, you know, uniquely long suffering. And it's also a fan base that has produced an awful lot of great baseball writing. Like,
oh my God.
Lookout Landing has produced Meg Rowley and Jeff Sullivan and on and on. And, you know, Kate Presser over there is great. So yeah, it's just like seeing a lot of people that I respect and like just having just the worst day today about this.
Like, honestly, I think the Mariners are probably like in my top four or five teams to watch. Apparently I just really love rooting for underdogs.
Yeah. And they just had James Paxton throw a no-hitter. And
I know, and they were like, good. They had like that like glimmer of hope for the wild card going. And like, they're one of those teams where it's just like, you, no matter how you feel about them, like even if they're middle of the pack, you kind of want to see them go to the World Series.
Yeah, they never like, bothered anybody, you know? They got Ichiro over there, like they handled that all like as well as could be, and yeah.
It's a bummer. Like, they're the kind of team you want to see do well. It's the same way I felt about the Astros up until they actually won it. Now I'm like, okay, we get it. You guys are really good.
Now you're like, oh, Justin Verlander's just turning into such an insufferable douche on Twitter.
you know what? Quite frankly, calling out
Robbie Cano and like, after having been much nicer to Johnny Peralta when it happened to him.
I'm kind of over Justin Verlander.
I'll never be over him, but he does have a huge factor that's definitely growing.
I want him back. Like, don't get me wrong. I would love to have him back on the Tigers. But, like, he's definitely got this, like, kind of shittiness going about him right now that I'm just...
He just needs to shut up, right? Like, he just needs to shut up about baseball things. Like, you won your World Series. You don't have to be, like, Mr. Veteran, you know... Wise sage commenting on every fucking thing.
I just find it interesting that he had a comment on Cano within 3 seconds, but still never said anything about Trevor Bauer.
I know.
like Bauer called him out almost specifically, like his entire pitching staff.
Yep.
And not a word. And
yeah,
then,
and what's interesting is that he, I mean, you know, you could argue about Garrett Cole, but like there's no argument that Justin Verlander needed pine tar or anything. He could have just smashed Trevor Bauer, you know, like you little chump, but he let that one go. And then
yeah,
this one he gets
let
on
him
about.
Hang.
But although I have to say, like, he and Max Scherzer have both been these guys kind of all along, like just ragging on the steroid users. You know, people are bringing up that Johnny Peralta comment, and, you know, rightly so, because he did kind of take it easy on him, but he and Max Scherzer, I remember both, like, many times, like, weighing in on this, and, you know, with disgust, you know, at the players cheating and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just terrible, you know, and Robbie Cano, you know, attitudes might change down the road, but right now, I mean, you kind of look at him suddenly, like, on the outskirts of the Hall of Fame voting, like, he's, you know, he's going to have a lot of people who are sort of, like, you know, kind of looking at him out of the side of their eye. And I don't blame him, because I, you know, for me, Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, that all happened before they even, you know, put in any good testing. So I just don't care about PEDs from the steroid era. I care now because there's testing. There's a whole protocol. You all know better. You can't make the argument that, like, oh, other people are using and, you know, they're making me look worse than I am. Like, none of that flies anymore. So it's just super aggravating to see a great player go down like this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it's actually ruined his Hall of Fame chances permanently. Like, I've seen some pretty good points. It's going to be over 10 years before he's eligible.
That's true.
And you'll have kind of a new guard coming in at that point.
Are we going to say their opinions don't matter because those guys are all going to be dead by then anyway?
No. But
sorry, I'm going full White House on John McCain there. That's
dark.
What that is.
but I do think you may see some shifts in attitude.
Yeah.
And I think you may see some younger guys kind of in that BBWAA voting range, guys and gals, because there's
like
obviously...
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I mean, people...
What are
we don't
vote?
Have... We're not BBWAA.
We're better than they are. That's what it is.
I'm IBWAA.
Oh, that's just sad.
I paid my $75, Brandon.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to leave that alone entirely. Yep.
You know what? So is Ken Rosenthal, so I don't care. It's fine.
Ken Rosenthal's in the IBWAA? I don't know.
Ken Rosenthal is absolutely in the IBWAA. I checked our member list.
Oh, geez. Now I want to be in. All right, fine.
I have a card and everything.
Do you?
I do. Oh, they send it to you.
Okay.
It's dorky as hell, I know, but I'm fine with it. But anyway, yes, if people of kind of... of our generation and that are kind of our contemporaries are the people that will be doing the BBWA, like, God forbid, but like the Grant Brisbys of the world, maybe.
Right, yeah.
And I think you may see a willingness to kind of overlook the mistake for the career that helped happen before that. Like, he's cleared his testing up until this point. Like, this, he's obviously been tested rigorously in the past, so I mean, I
you just
think
never know, like, a guy might take something in the off season because he has an injury and he's trying to get back. I mean it is hard to imagine that Robbie Cano has been using for, like, you know, 7-8 years and they just have never caught him up till
that
now,
they just
so.
Never notice. I don't buy that. I don't like the attitude now of people going like, oh, how do you feel, 09 Yankees? Like, I hate the Yankees just as much as anybody else, but I don't think we can besmirch a man's entire career just because this happened now. I think it's shitty, and I think it is cheating because it is in the rules. Like, that's the funny thing is that I don't care about it, but it does break the rules.
Yeah. And the problem is, like, I don't care a lot about it either. It's just that there has to be, like, I just want there to be testing and rules, and then, you know, if you can get away with it otherwise, I really don't care that much. I'm in the same vein as that, because I mean, it could all go too far. I mean, you could see that if there were no rules on it, like, who knows, you know, people who have plenty of money, like Verlander, like the, you know, the Scherzers of the world, like those guys could be getting their blood spun and EPO and, you know, and all that stuff just all day long, and it isn't fair. But the argument I've always made is that no one takes a look at the fact that the ways that surgery has changed the game and how this is going to affect the way we look at the medical ethics of this going forward, because, you know, there's all these pitchers out there who, you know, if you want to take the natural baseball player, they naturally blew their elbow and their shoulders out. And then they get cadaver ligaments and, you know, all and ligaments move from other parts of their body. And then they get to come back. Nobody gets to come back from being 34 and just having bad knees. You know, there's no, you can't take, you know, performance enhancing drugs or HGH or something like that and rehab that stuff. But pitchers can get put back together. And I don't know what the calculus is there. I guess, you know, it's a repair and it brings you back to whatever your natural state is. I don't know if that argument is even made, but you know, if that's the argument, then the same argument should have to hold true for older players who, okay, you're 35 now, you get to take rides until you retire. Let's see how you do.
Yeah, to balance you out. But I mean, I look at a guy like Johnny Venters who had 3.5 Tommy John surgeries or something like that, and he's pitching now. Mm-hmm. That guy's got a cyborg arm. Like,
yep.
Let's be real here. So, and I mentioned this.
You know, all these guys should be naturally selected out. All these arms, you know, that blow out. Like, that should be it. And these hitters shouldn't have to deal with them, but they do. So.
And I look at it, like, I mentioned in our Slack channel today that I had interviewed the head athletic trainer for the Dodgers ages ago. For a book I was writing, totally unrelated to baseball stuff. But, like, I was interviewing her for some other stuff. And I'm like, how does it work with something like a painkiller? Because I wanted to know in the situation with a guy like Zach Greinke, where he had his collarbone broken, like how would that kind of thing work? Like, what's the testing protocol for that? And she kind of made it clear at the time that they do make sure that all the medications are tracked. But she kind of laughed about it. She's like, I wonder if they should consider a painkiller a performance enhancing drug, because it certainly does help their performance at the time.
Cortisone shots and swollen joints.
It's like, where do you draw the line on what is and isn't okay, is my question.
And I really don't think we've really had that conversation. Like, all that stuff I was just talking, you know, like, you just don't see, like, this discussion, you know, happen at the highest levels of the game. Maybe it does. Maybe in closed rooms somewhere, Joe Torre and, you know, Jim Leland and Rob Manfred are all together with, you know, owners and whoever else, like, debating this all out, but I just doubt it. I think they prefer all this to just kind of go away. And
they're too busy giving people citations for wearing black shoes and Venezuelan armbands, which is the other stupidest fucking thing in baseball right now.
I know. You see MLB do something good, like figure out that, okay, we shouldn't just fuck the pitching ninja over. We should, like, you know, integrate him into our team. And then the next week it's all like, oh, we don't like your shoes. Those aren't league approved. And
So for anybody that isn't aware, they're citing players for having shoes that are having cleats that are not at least, I think, 51% team colors. So anything within team colors is okay, which is why you see guys on the Tigers wearing, like, the bright orange and stuff like that at away games. That's fine because it matches colors. But I think it was Mike Clevenger from the Indians got cited because he had gray cleats with a pink design on them that had been custom made for him. And then Ben Zobrist from the Cubs got cited because he wears black kind of PF Flyer style shoes. That's an homage to old school, the old school, like, stuff that guys would wear out back in the day.
'70s, '80s.
Exactly. Like, he's just, like, respecting the game with that. And he got cited because they're black and there's no black in the Cubs uniforms, obviously. And then somebody else got cited today. So they're, like, really cracking down on this. And then,
And there doesn't seem to be any, like, you know, any, advertising contracts that are being violated by this, as far as I can tell. So, you know, I mean, that you could understand if there's, you know, if it's contractual with various, you know, shoe manufacturers, but that,
like, that's not. But I mean, like, Bryce Harper was allowed to wear Louis Vuitton cleats because they were the right color.
Yeah.
And that was fine. But then Wilson Contreras from the Cubs, the Cubs catcher.
Those were also sweet, by the way.
Yeah, those were pretty, pretty sweet. But Wilson Contreras got dinged today for wearing his Venezuelan arm sleeve.
Yeah, I mean,
that he's been wearing all season, and I'm pretty sure Jesus Zucker from the Braves and a couple other guys have a similar thing. And a really, like the part of me that doesn't believe that anybody is just doing things for the rules and is that everybody's kind of doing things to be a dick, genuinely believes that this is kind of the MLB's way of sticking it to the MLBPA. For all the shit that they went through in the off season,
which is funny because the MLBPA did little other than roll over and show their belly and beg for belly rubs and treats.
Yeah, and I mean, it's stupid,
got taken to school over the past year and a half.
I feel like because of the conflict that was created between the two parties in the offseason, they're being real sticklers for some stupid, stupid shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you don't want to, like, work with us? Then, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start issuing fines for weird-looking cleats.
Yeah, and it didn't really start, like, right at the beginning of the season. It's really been, like, this last week. It just seems like they've been on an absolute, you know, mission to bust all these dudes, which is just weird.
And it's so stupid, because if the idea is to, like, sneakily have vengeance, the MLB is the one that's looking really dumb here.
Yep.
Like, who cares what color somebody's cleats are? Like, if they're not covered in, like, really, like, inappropriate, like, nudie artwork,
yeah, or,
like,
graffiti or something,
racist nonsense, I genuinely do not care what a man's cleats are. And 99% of the time, I don't think anybody on that field notices.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, who cares if Ben Zobrist is wearing black cleats? You can't tell the difference.
Yep.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, you probably put it best there, just looking at it as, like, a power play to kind of come back at the union and take some shots at the players.
Because yeah, that was the statement. Goofy. That was the MLB statement saying, oh, well, you agreed to this with with their last contract negotiations.
Yeah.
So take it up with the MLBPA. And I'm like, oh, are you guys kidding me with this?
I know. So, yeah, so, you know, there's the bad and the bad. And the league is being stupid, and Robinson Cano was stupid. And
I guess we should maybe talk about the Tigers or something. Yeah,
before we do, let's just click on a couple little things, because we've had, like, AJ Pollock got hurt again, which he does every year. So the high-flying Diamondbacks may be in a little bit of trouble, but the Dodgers are still way, way behind and looking in trouble. So there's that. You know, Shohei Ohtani is still doing well. Adani Hechavarria had an incredible, like, crazy, like, Spider-Man slide where he, like,
Then
they played, like, some kind of lightning round of Twister with the catcher until he could score. So those were the kind of, like, fun, those are the fun items over the weekend. But yes, let's get to the Tigers, who have been remarkably fun and just dumb. Like,
Brandon.
It just feels dumb, but somehow Brandon. They just keep doing fun things and coming back, and it's bizarre.
Brandon.
Break it down.
The Tigers DFA'd Chad Bell, and mm-hmm. he was taken.
And
he was taken
Braves.
Off waivers by the Braves, who seem to really like taking the Tigers' mediocre pitching.
I know, they've still got Anibal down there.
Yep, it's, but I mean, Anibal's doing really well down there in three games. He's got a 1.67 ERA, I think, something stupid like that.
Yeah, you just wonder if maybe he just needed to see a whole bunch of different hitters, you know, one of those things, like with Francisco Rodriguez, where he came up in 2016 to the American League, and all of a sudden he was good again for most of the year, and then everyone got used to him, and by the end of the year it was fading, and 2017 was just a freaking clusterfuck, so...
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. Allow me to take you down memory lane into the...
I was there. I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
But I do like to think about that moment where it was clear that Francisco Rodriguez was kicking up a fuss and he'd blown a whole bunch of saves. Because I said something at the time last year that I keep thinking about lately with what's going on with the Tigers, which was that, you know, expectations really are kind of a bitch. And... you saw how that team, you know, the Tigers in 2017 came out and just kind of just laid an egg, like, the whole first half. And, you know, just that pressure of, like, you know, this is your last shot. And, you know, you're not getting, you know, we're not going out and trading for, you know, players to help you guys. You know, you've got to be in first place and doing well, or we're going to trade everybody away. And just, you know, just the spirit, you know, kind of killer that must be when you're struggling early in the season. You got all this talent around you and you just cannot find the mojo as a team. You just cannot find the, you know, that gear together where you're all having a good time and playing hard. And then you come out this year and you see a team that has absolutely nothing to lose. And, you know, they're not setting the world on fire, but they've been, like, just hilariously entertaining so far. And it just seems like when they need big hits, they're getting them from the most random places and escaping jams.
Weird.
They're not even playing, like, good baseball in a lot of ways. There's, you know, the defense is booting balls, you know, two or three.
There's
a
lot of luck involved.
They're running
absolutely.
Through stop signs. Jacoby Jones just will not stop running the bases.
Jacoby Jones almost ran Dave Clark over.
Like, that is a great part of that clip, is when Dave Clark realizes, like, oh, this 6'5", 220-pound, like, wild pony is running right at me. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, shit, I better move. It's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, it really has been fun.
And that's what it is. You know what? Like, I thought this year, and I'm sure I've said this before on the podcast, but I thought this year was going to be a real bummer. Like, I just thought it would be, oh, great. Maybe we'll see a couple innings of interesting ball out of some of the young guys. But, like, I just thought it was going to be kind of a downer, like, real slog of a season to get through.
Yeah, me too.
But, man alive, are they making it fun. Like, I saw the score for the game today because I was out doing some stuff and I got home around the fifth inning and I'm like, yeah, that's about right for an Indians-Tigers game, but I'll watch the end anyway. And as I'm tuning in, I'm like, oh, there's a run. Oh, there's another run. I'm like, what is happening here?
Yep.
Like, this team doesn't make any sense and I love it.
And then, oh, and here comes Andrew Miller. And
Oh yeah. And I'm like, oh, Andrew Miller's in. Well, that's the end of that. Nice try, boys. But, like, then that happened. Broken Andrew Miller. It's so sad to watch a guy whose command is as, like, unbelievably good as Andrew Miller's.
Yeah.
Like, God, Andrew Miller could, like, you know, line in a house, like, painting-wise, with the way he frames pitches. Like,
yeah.
He's just so tight in the corners, and it's so weird to watch him not have that kind of command. And I know it's got to suck for the Indians fans,
yeah. The
ones them that I like.
And you see his stuff, you know, when at his best, like the last couple of years, his stuff is so sharp, like the slider and the fastball look so good. But without the command, all of a sudden it all looks, and without the, you know, the goatee and the long hair, it all just looks very mediocre. You know, it's just like, yeah, this guy, just, yeah, some random long arm slinging lefty here, big deal.
Just another lanky reliever, and it's so weird to not see the Andrew Miller that I've seen the last 3 years. Yep. Like,
yep. And he's
I'm not complaining.
Pitched, yeah. And he, you know, and he'll probably get it together. He's, you know, he's only a couple outings back from being injured and stuff, but yeah, you know, he's pitched a lot of innings. You look at kind of like Dylan Betances, Kenley Jansen, like some of these guys who've been really leaned on to carry teams the past couple years. And even Aroldis Chapman last year didn't have, you know, his best year, although he was still pretty good. He's kind of got it back this year, but you're seeing some of these super relievers kind of showing a little bit of the wear and tear, it seems like. And, Andrew Miller chief among them.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. But again, like I said, not complaining when it comes to facing off against the Tigers. I was happy to watch him walk in a run, which is apparently he has not given up 3 walks in an inning since 2009.
Wow.
And the only time he did that before 2009 was in 2006 when he was with the Tigers. And it was like his third appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, to say that it was a real anomaly tonight is kind of an understatement.
It's not like he's up against a bunch of guys with, like, you know, just incredible plate discipline and, you know, people he has to be scared of and stuff like that. It was like John, you know, James McCann and, you know, John Hicks and Nico Goodrum and these type guys.
Yeah.
Although Nico Goodrum is, you know, is so
well,
hot
he's
right
on like
now.
A 5 or 6 game hitting streak now.
Yep, got 3 home runs in the past 4 games, I think. Yeah, I mean he's been hot, and Jacoby, like, just seems to keep getting it done somehow. Like his average hasn't gone up that much, and he's still, you know, the strikeouts have kind of gone back up to like 25-28% where you kind of expect, and he's not walking, but he's still just hitting the ball hard everywhere. It seems like even games when he's, you know, he goes 0-for-4, he lines out to right and center a couple times. Still seeing some good contact from him, so yeah, it'd be nice if Nico Goodrum could play defense without booting it all over himself. But since Dixon Machado can't stop booting it all over, you might see a lot more Nico Goodrum for a while.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, with Jamer, that's the other thing we should probably mention. With
I know the injury.
Jamer Candelario is on the DL now, which is, and I'm going to talk about this more this week. I think it's a smart move. I'm really happy the Tigers are doing it, but it sucks from a perspective of having to put one of the best hitters on the team on the disabled list.
Especially the young guy who kind of represents the future maybe more than anybody, yeah.
And it's a tough situation because right now I think he's 10-day DL. But the thing is that they've pretty much made it a given that what's going on with his wrist is something that's going to need surgery. And he's been playing in pain, I think, since the beginning of the year, and it's not something that's going to heal in a 10-day DL stint. And they knew about it
even before we traded for him, so he's had it for a year, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm really hoping that the Tigers kind of make the smart call in lieu of what the player and the fans want. Like, just give him the surgery now, and hope that he's better by spring training next year.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem, though, is that, you know, the more I hear them describing this surgery, it seems like it's just super tricky. Like, when you get deep into the wrist with all those little bones, the Hammett, and all those other little bones in there, this piece of cartilage and tendon and ligament and everything that's what is it called? The triangle fibrocartilage complex. Like, apparently this surgery is, like, pretty complex, and it's very easy for it to take, like, a year to heal from, and you might not really see, you know, the benefits that you hope to. It may really never kind of go away. He's been hitting with it anyway, but it's annoying because it's one of those injuries that starts to sound like it's going to be, you know, something that he kind of has to deal with his whole career. I guess Carlos Guillen had to kind of deal with the same thing, although Carlos Guillen had enough knee injuries where he probably had plenty of time to rehab the wrist as well. So, but yeah, that was kind of a drag, and, you know, and it kind of comes, you know, at the end of a whole string of injuries, from Daniel Norris needing surgery to Miguel Cabrera going down with the hamstring, and Leonis Martin went down with the hamstring, and Jordan Zimmermann went down with the shoulder impingement, and then somehow Alex Wilson tore his entire plantar fascia.
He's got his fascia. Yeah, I got plantar fasciitis. I should know this.
So do I.
Yeah, we are old and walking hurts. So
sometimes
we know
you wake up in the morning
feels.
And your feet are dead for a few minutes.
Oh, I know that feeling so well. Limp your way into the kitchen to get your coffee.
Yeah, I still blame one particular night when I was delivering the mail, and when I was a mailman in another lifetime, like way out in the country, and it was like just like 4 degrees all day long, and by the time we all got back into the shop, it was like 7 at night, and I was just walking on these two wooden stumps. Like, I was like, I think I have some deep-seated frostbite issues that are just deep
oh,
in there.
Oh no.
But no, it's probably just the damn plantar fasciitis, so.
Yeah, so, it seems like a lot, and you know what's funny about it is that with all those guys out, you wouldn't expect the Tigers to be doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And yet they're still winning games. I mean, you had Castellanos on the bench for a couple days as well, and the guys were still doing fine. And we've got guys like Pete Cosma in the lineup, and I tweeted this weekend that Pete Cosma looked like he time-traveled here from 1994. It's just these weird guys that we're seeing in the lineup right now, and yet somehow they're still beating the Indians 9-8.
Yeah, and you look through a lot of these guys' numbers aren't particularly good. It's not like they're all just on fire. They're just getting timely hits. It's just the damnedest thing. You know, like, you look at our bullpen and look at, like, the ERA and the DRA, it's like, now we've got, like, two relievers who are worth a damn, and, you know, we've got a couple starters who are okay, but
guy like Blaine Hardy, who's now one of our starters.
Yeah.
Like, and I suspect we will see him in the starting rotation again. He had a fine outing on Sunday.
Full disclaimer, we are big fans of Blaine and Nikki Hardy, so
I fully blame Nikki, and I don't know if she listens to our podcast, but I feel like my like fangirlness of Nikki, like, just because I just want to hang out with her because she's a super genius.
I know, she's really smart and super cool.
She's just a really cool lady.
Yep.
She was on the broadcast tonight, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yep.
Doing a little behind the scenes chatting about how she and Blaine like World of Warcraft, which I thought was pretty cute. But I think her presence, and she's actually part of the BYB community, which is really cool. She comments sometimes and has written a couple posts for us.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely gives us a little bit more of an invested interest in Blaine doing well.
Mm-hmm. But we also need a lefty.
But we need a good lefty.
Yeah, we
You're
do.
Right. And he had, I think, a really serviceable outing on Sunday. Like, he gave up, what, 4 runs? No, he gave up, like, 8 runs. But eight hits.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. Yeah,
that was
you.
My bad. He gave up 8 hits. But it really was a decent showing, considering what some of our other starters have done.
Yep, it was just like a clear start this year of like, you know, only went like 5, you know, innings ish, but, you know, gave up 1 or 2 runs, like, just didn't, you know, didn't break somehow.
I thought it was so sweet after the game. Guardy was saying when he went out to take the ball away from Blaine at like 5 points, like in the fifth, that Blaine's like, I couldn't even go 5 innings, and like Pete Cosma's like, dude, you're a reliever. Like, you did fine. So I thought it was pretty sweet that he kind of like got down on himself for not going as far into the game as he wanted to.
That's getting cocky. That's because that's because Blaine Hardy put together like five of the most dominant starts you'll ever see in AAA.
Oh my god! Like what he had, like a 0.73 or something ERA.
Yeah, ten a game, like in two different games. Like this is not the Blaine Hardy we were familiar with. And I guess he got to work on some of his other stuff. You know, working as a starter and. Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting to let a guy try that. You know, they tried it with Alex Wilson in spring training, and that didn't go so well. But for Blaine Hardy, it seemed to kind of rejuvenate him a little bit. Like, you know, you almost got you did get DFA'd. You know, your whole career kind of could have started to go down the toilet. And instead, they gave him starting role, and bam. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I'm here for this story. It's one of my favorite things this season. Mm-hmm. And I fully admit to being really biased about Blaine Hardy. I like the Hardys a lot.
Yeah, we've always been fans too. Yeah, they're just kind of friends of the site in general. So
yeah, so I mean, but yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of a cool story to watch, just seeing like that, you know, you're a loogie guy almost, like mm-hmm. Hardy he could do a couple innings in relief if need be, but he was never like a long haul reliever. Yeah. And now he could be like a sixth or like regular rotation fifth starter this season. And that's weird and super cool.
Yeah. I mean, and it's easy to forget that, you know, Blaine Hardy from like, you know, 2014, 15 and 16, those first couple of Osmus years, he was pretty good. I mean, yeah. he was a very solid loogie who could, you know, could handle more than that. And that kind of like fastball upstairs, you know, even though he doesn't have particularly good velocity, that and a pretty nice curveball, like that was a pretty good combination. And you know, he seems to have worked on his changeup and his slider a little bit. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, we're desperate for a reliever because Ron Gardenhire is running Joe Jimenez out there seemingly every day. Joe Jimenez at this point has more innings. Well, he did going into tonight, had more innings than anyone in the American League, which is not good news. That cannot go on like that. We do not want Joe Jimenez getting worn out. But so it was nice to see some other guys kind of manage to survive at least tonight and get him through one game. And Shane Green continues to look a little sketchy and somehow get it done. And that's fine because Shane Green seems like a dude who just gets better as the year goes
through the season. Yeah, he had like issues last season too. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the year, he definitely wasn't the most reliable guy. And then by the time Francisco Rodriguez was done, he was the obvious kind of guy to step into that role, but that was what, June or July?
Yeah. Like, it was late. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not done with Shane Green yet. I think that he'll be fine. He's had those ongoing issues with like the finger numbness.
Yeah.
And he's having to learn how to pitch anew without having feeling in some of his fingers. Like, I think we can give the guy a bit of a break and let him find his groove.
Yeah. Even when we kind of discovered Shane Green, you know, I remember him just owning the Tigers in one start when he came up with the Yankees, but he just kind of came up with the Yankees in the second half and no one expected anything. And he put together 10 or 11, just really, really solid starts. And, you know, that kind of just set the trend of a guy who, you know, sometimes struggles early in the year and, you know, as long as he's healthy, we'll pick it up. So I'm not worried about him either. We just need another guy, another arm, and it doesn't appear to be Saupold. Maybe it'll be Farmer, but just someone else to take a little bit of the pressure off these guys so we're not burning out, you know, our probably best trade chip and, you know, our hopeful closer of the future in Jimenez. So
yeah,
we just need to, you know, do a little better job taking care of those guys. I can't really kill Gardy because, you know, you want to win the games. Like, it's frustrating to be late in the game and know you need this guy and not use him. But, I would hope the front office would eventually put the call down. Like, could you please give Joe Jimenez a day or two off here somewhere so he doesn't blow anything up?
Yeah, let's keep him healthy if we can. Yep. Don't need any more disabled list stints.
Yeah. But yeah, by and large, like the Tigers just kind of continue to play okay. Like we haven't seen, you know, great starting pitching. We haven't seen, you know, great relief pitching. They just kind of keep getting it done. And, you know, Michael Fulmer hasn't been real good yet. He's been, you know, kind of solid, but not like a good pitcher at this point. Like he's still having these outings where he kind of loses his command. And meanwhile, Matt Boyd just continues to sort of mix up like this crazy stew of slow and faster fastballs and slow and faster changeups and curveballs and sliders and just mix the whole thing together. And he's been pretty effective. So those two guys have at least, you know, kind of held the line, but you can also see the cracks, you know, like Francisco Liriano getting hit tonight, Mike Fairs. It's hard to kind of see that holding up. So, you know, this may all just be a pipe dream. And a month from now, we're looking back, you know, 10 games at the Indians and like, oh, what were we thinking? But so far, just, it's been entertaining, and that's all we could ask.
If we win the game tomorrow, if the Tigers win the game tomorrow,
yep,
we'll be tied for first in the Central.
And really, I think we agreed before the show even started. That's all we wanted. We want to be in first at some point. That would be great. It would just make me laugh so damn
bizarre.
Hard.
I
will troll Matt Lyons over at Let's Go Tribe, and we'll just have a great time.
Matt's suffering right now. Be nice to him.
I know.
You should have seen the game recap they posted on the weekend. Really? There was just like a full glitch screen saying bullpen, 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 bullpen. And I think we, of anybody, can recognize how hard it is to watch a bullpen blow a game.
Yeah, and to be that team that like is supposed to do this thing and kind of can't seem to get going and look a little deer in the headlights over there at this point. So
it's rough. I mean, I love seeing the Tigers beat the Indians, but... it still sucks to see a team lose like that, especially with like a bullpen that's supposed to be as good. Like, yeah. I don't know.
There's something about the Indians too, where it's sort of like the Royals. Like, they weren't good enough long enough for me to get like super pissed at them. Like, you know, it's almost like the last thing I remember is, you know, JD Martinez hitting like 10,000 runs off Cody Allen in 2014 and 2015. And then it was like, oh, all of a sudden, like 2016, there they were, and they were good. So I haven't really worked up all that much animosity toward those guys any more than I have the Royals. So yeah, it's, you know, I'm not going to feel too bad for them, but yeah, I don't take a whole lot of particular pleasure, but I definitely would take a ton of pleasure in being in first place for a little bit.
Right.
That would just make me gleeful for a couple days, because it is silly. It is silliness. So, I mean, there isn't a ton going on with the Tigers. I mean, we're just trying to search for, you know, a reliever to hear otherwise, and as far as the draft goes, it seems like, you know, Casey Mize is kind of the guy, and nothing is... I it's hard to imagine anything changing that at this point. As much as we might like Nick Madrigal... Probably going to be disappointed on that front. And Casey Mize will probably be fine. So, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Casey Mize, they'll probably, like we've talked, they'll probably just dump him right into Erie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to see him a lot sooner than we might have. I mean, I don't think we would have had to wait too long on Madrigal either.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe even
but,
less, yeah.
Like, I don't think that, I don't know. It'll be fine. Whoever we get, it'll be fine. I very much accepted that Casey Mize is the guy at this point, no matter how much I like Nick Madrigal, but I mean, the Tigers could surprise us. We don't work in the front office. We don't know what they're discussing. We just know what we've seen year after year after year after year.
Power arm. Power arm. Yep. Power arm. So
Righty.
Maybe that'll work. It's just that, you know, and I've thought about writing about this, but like a lot of things this season, we have so many new players. I've been trying to be more patient and wait, you know, try to give it like 40 plus games before we start, you know, really, really deep diving into the stats. But I you know, you just look at Dixon Machado and you know Jose Iglesias is gone. And Dawid Lugo, you know, probably isn't going to be an answer. And you just look at that middle infield and think like, okay, that's it. That's what's got to be fixed. You know, there's plenty of pitching coming. Got to find a way to fix this middle infield in a year or two before Miguel Cabrera gets too old to really contribute. And then we've got another kind of albatross around our neck. So that's on you, Al Avila. Figure it out.
That's what I've been saying. I mean, get yourself a near game ready second baseman, but.
Okay, what do we know? We're just a bunch of mooks on the internet. What do we know?
We just watch all the games and see where your deficits are, but whatever.
I've been right a bunch of times when you... Anyway, just saying. I've got a whole list in my head of things I've been right about. I need that list. It gives me confidence about the things I've been wrong about.
I'm assuming you do not also keep a list of things you've been wrong about.
I don't need a list of those because they're too present in my head. those burn on me a little bit. But yeah, so, you know, we'll just have to kind of see how those guys play it all out. As far as the minor leagues going right now, like, I know everyone's out there like, Kristen Stewart, I don't care who you have to get off this goddamn team. I want to see Kristen Stewart come up and just mash dingers.
Oh, my God. People are obsessed.
Yeah.
Why? And I want to see him come up and mash dingers, too. But he's a defensive liability. Like, maybe let's not burn a year of his.
No, I'm told. Lynn Henning says he's fine. Everybody says, you know.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, okay, cool. Lynn Henning totally knows. But...
I know. I'm in a tough spot with Lynn Henning because I like Lynn and we talk. And then sometimes he'll just make these crazy... team friendly. I just had lunch with Al at the at Tejas de Brazil downtown, and now I'm all just stoked about these things.
Lynn is a great guy, but he's drinking the Kool-Aid if he thinks that Christian Stewart's not a liability in the defense.
Yeah.
Like,
if
he's not going to
miss. Nick Castellanos will be damn lucky. That's all I'll say. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the best you can hope for defensively.
Yep.
So, cool if everybody's just gung-ho to see him mash dingers and then also, you know, give up a ton of long doubles.
Yeah.
Because he can't catch a damn thing. Sure.
Let's
burn an option while we're at it.
Yeah, that's the real thing. Like, there's just no reason. There's just no rush, people. Pretty just chill out.
There's no necessary cause for him right now. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see him in September.
Oh, for sure. And maybe even sooner. Like, I could see him coming up, you know, for an injury. Like, if Victor got hurt, you know, went on the 10-day. Yeah. Like, bring him up and let him DH for a little bit. But
yes.
He just needs to keep playing outfield and hopefully improving. I would like to believe that he's improving as much as some of our journalists are saying. I totally don't believe that. But, you know, if he can improve even a little bit, the bat looks like it might carry him anyway. Because, oh boy, is he mashing taters down there. I mean, he's hitting 300. He's got 11 home runs. He's hitting 2 a game over the weekend. Christian Stewart looks like the bat is absolutely as legit as anybody out there. And, you know, if he just turns out to be a Willie Calhoun-type player who just hits the crap out of the ball and doesn't really have a position and you just kind of fit him in, that's a perfectly useful bench player. And you can get him 400 at-bats and not have him hurt you defensively. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. And then in the meantime, you know, at Erie, like, Sandy Baez has been pitching reasonably well. Kyle Funkhauser had a good outing. Will Burrows has had a good outing. So some of these guys are starting to put it together. We'll see Matt Manning and see if he can come back after the last outing he had, which was freaking killer, and put two in a row together. That would be nice. Alex Fiedo has been kind of a disappointment, but I have a lot to say about that, and I'm not going to do it here. We'll just kind of hope that he can kind of right the ship there, because he had a lot of success in college, and, you know, you just kind of have to give him some time, I guess, and see if he can figure out a way to deal with these high A-ball hitters who we expected him to just carve up left and right. Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, well, that happens when you take just fucking righty-righty-righties in the draft. Sorry, I'm
righty-righty-righty.
Beating the dead horse. I know.
At least we've got, like, you know, some freaky guys like Lewis Coleman, and, you know, they've got John Schreiber, and, oh, damn it, who's the other one? Is it Jeff Thompson? We've got another kind of side armor down there at Erie. So, you know, at least they've kind of picked up on, like, hey, maybe we should try some guys who don't all throw the same way and see what happens.
This Lewis Coleman experiment is very interesting to me.
Yeah, he's a strange one, isn't he? He's what is he, 30?
He's an odd choice, but he seems to be doing okay.
Yeah, at least, there's a different look there that, you know, we're not used to seeing, and I don't know, maybe a little bit of funk that could be effective. He's a good slider and sneaky fastball going.
He sure looks like a Tigers reliever.
Yeah, except for the fact that he throws weird, because everybody else just kind of, you know, three quarters, 94, 95.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, he's 32. Yeah, I remember him being in the Royals organization. It just never happened for him there. And yeah, kicked around a few years, Dodgers, Reds, Diamondbacks, and yeah. All right, he's 32, and he's never been successful, so probably.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he's going to be, like, the great white hope or anything. I just think he's an interesting team on a daily basis. I was just like, who's this?
Yeah, who is that?
Like, I didn't remember him being signed. Nothing.
There's been a lot of that. So, you know, like Johnny Barbato and Kevin Comer and Ryan Carpenter, like, on some of these guys, but yeah, we kind of are. Because what the hell, right? You know what I just noticed?
What?
Sorry, this is exciting. If you know how if you scroll over Fangraph's player search bar, like, the top 10 most searched players come up in under the major leagues and then under the minor leagues? Kristen Stewart is number 10, popped up there with Bo Bichette,
wow.
Tim Tebow, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Tim Tebow is successful right now. He's actually getting it done, and it's just making me laugh.
Yeah, Tim Tebow is a weird story.
It really is.
Weird, and he's like double A?
Double A, and he's got a 128 WRC plus. He's striking
Binghamton
out 42% of the time, but yeah.
It's so weird.
Oh, is he a bat? Is he with the Binghamton? Oh, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, that's right. The Rumble Ponies, that's one of my favorite names.
so good.
Yeah, no, that is a good one.
Rumble ponies. Oh, man. Minor league teams never change.
Yeah, there's some good names out there for sure. Yeah, that's one of the funny things about doing the minor league recaps, although like the thrill is over. But I kind of knew most of the teams, and obviously we miss out on a lot of like, the West Coast half of the minor leagues. But yeah, just getting used to all the names. The Altoona Curve and the Threshers of Clearwater, and who is it? The Fire Frogs? The Florida Fire Frogs.
The Lairs, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Yard Goats.
Yes, the Hartford Yard Goats.
Yeah, they're pretty good. The Iron Pigs are always fun, although I'm really miffed at them because at the beginning of the season, I gave them a really good promo idea, and they did not take it because they did a Star Wars night, and I'm like, if y'all don't change your name to the Iron Porgs for that day, I'm going to be so disappointed in you.
Wow, they blew
and
the
they
porg
did
tie-in?
Not, and I'm like, how could you not take advantage of this?
Yeah, that's just a disgrace is what all that is.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well.
So. But there's the other cool thing with the minor leagues, right? This season
can't help
that they're
everybody,
doing,
can we?
They're doing like a Spanish themed like bracket. So all like a bunch of the different teams have got like Spanish inspired names and hats for like a short series. I wish I could remember what this is called, and I feel really bad for it. But like, it's like one of them is like the Flying Sandals because your abuela used to beat you with them, kind of thing. Like it's just like the cangrejos instead of the, you know, like the Charlotte Stone Crabs or something. Like it's so ridiculous. The Tigers weren't in on it. I was bummed. None of the Tigers minor league affiliates were in. But it's pretty effing hilarious. And the hats are amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. The Tigers minor league affiliates are taking themselves very seriously this year. They want to win. You know, they're like, stock us up with a bunch of veteran 4A players. We want to get after it. Although
it's Copa de la Diversión. Have it now. It's like the diversity cup, basically.
Oh, cool.
It's 33 teams. They'll do select games throughout the year. So like the Durham Bulls were the Toros. That was one. Some of these are so great. Yeah, the Charlotte Caballeros. But yes, you have to look up the hats. Like, just search like Copa de la Diversión, or honestly, you could search MILB Spanish hats, and that's how I found it. These hats are unbelievably good, and I want all of them. Like, there's one that has like a Mexican wrestler on it.
Oh, a luchador.
Yeah, luchador. Thank you. Yeah. There's like a chupacabra.
Of course.
They're just so good.
I'll have to buy you one of these hats.
Please. Yeah. I will always take ridiculous hats. The Cangrejos Fantasmas.
I just need to insure myself some magical Canadian baked goods.
The ghost crabs.
Oh, the ghost crabs, yes.
Cangrejos Fantasmas de Chesapeake. Oh, these are so good. Can't get over it.
That's a great idea. I'm sorry, but I'm also laughing because I'm seeing Rob tweeting on Twitter, one game back in capital letters.
The El Paso Chihuahuas. Right. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm just on a tangent now, but these hats are amazing.
I know. We've got to get you off this and take you to another subject that you also will be super stoked about, which is those new Harry Potter jerseys for the Mud Hens.
Oh, my God. Okay.
With the like snakeskin, like matte finish looking.
They are
design.
So cool. I think last year they did like a Gryffindor theme with them.
Yep. And they looked all like dorks. I mean, they look like giant dorks last year. I have not forgotten that.
Yeah. So like,
Slytherin,
let's
much
be
better.
Slytherin colors are way cooler.
I'm afraid they are.
And I say that as a Ravenclaw. But like, these uniforms are so cool. they're as cool as something that's as nerdy as Harry Potter Night can be.
Yeah.
And I say this as a grown adult woman who in like a 2 weeks time will be at Universal at Harry Potter Land. I'm super into it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yep. I love when they do this kind of thing. It's just super fun. Not to mention, obviously, it's a whole excuse for them to sell a whole bunch of this, but we understand this, but merchandise is cool. We're into it. So good job. Good job. MILB.
It's in the mini eye.
Good job, the mini eye. All right. I have one final topic tonight. because we're about an hour in. Okay, so the United States Supreme Court has struck down some of the bans, you know, on legalized sports gambling that had allowed Las Vegas all this time to basically monopolize this whole industry. And we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be, you know, like gambling at machines at your local bar. I don't know if you're going to have to go to a casino and, you know, if I'm going to have to go downtown Detroit to like MGM or something to put down some sports bets or what the deal is. But how do you feel about this? Does it just make sense to this, because Las Vegas has always been able to do it? People can go on Bovada. I do not bet very much. The only bet I have made of any substance in recent years was that I bet Verlander to win the Cy Young in 2016. And I put down like $300 and I was set to win, like, I can't even remember how much. It was too much. And it's best I don't even think about it because I was so pissed that night. I was madder than Kate Upton was. But, so would you be someone, I don't even know what the rules are in Canada, but would you be someone
who
would
bet? Well, we have sports betting here. Like, it works okay. The same way as lotteries do. And I don't know if it's, like, just football excuse. I never bet on sports because I don't understand how. Mm-hmm. The concept of over under, I think Cody from our site has tried to explain it to me like 70 times, and I still use it wrong in like just like peripheral speech. I'm just like, what's the over under on this happening? And Cody's like, that's not how that works.
Because engineers can't explain anything, they can only do it.
And I'm like, I don't know, I just like saying over under. But like in Canada, you can bet on things like football and that sort of thing. And so that it works like at a lottery kiosk. So that's all you do. You go in and you enter your bet the same way you would if you wanted like a quick pick for like the Powerball or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's pretty basic. You just fill out a sheet and pop it in, and it's just handled alongside regular lottery. So I would expect that that's sort of what they'll do in the States.
Yeah.
Is that you'll just get cards that you fill out and you kind of place your bets accordingly.
It's going to be interesting, just because you just don't know how things are ever going to go in the States.
Oh, God. It's
like,
huge.
It could, like, the licensing could all be locked down to just, like, a couple certain places, or it could be just open, yeah, wide up. I really don't know. And because this ruling just came down, like, even the States haven't really thought about it. It's just a fact of, like, just like the, you know, the spread of legalized marijuana, you know, via state law as opposed to federal law. Like, there's just all this damn money, and it's, you know, it's all going into the black market, and the government never sees a dime, and, you know, they're finally wising up. Like, you know, the government...
No, and I agree
that, but
that's...
pass on all this money.
It's a similar kind of idea. Like, they're legalizing marijuana nationwide here this summer in Canada.
Woo, trip to Canada. Ow.
Yeah, woo, who cares? We're the New Amsterdam or whatever. It's not going to be like that.
Me and Jacoby Jones are coming to Montreal.
No, but, like, it's one of those things where I really do wish they'd almost taken longer on it before deciding to say, yeah, we're going to do this, and to kind of figure out how they're going to make it work, like the legalities of like where it will be sold, what the legal ages will be, how will growers do it, and how will it impact, and et cetera, et cetera. I wish they'd taken a year longer. Like, I know people are going to do it anyway, and yes, it's great to like decriminalize it and make it legal now, and yes, cool, we're going to be making taxes off of it. Hurrah! But
I know, we can fund the schools off like everyone's dumbassery, smoking weed, and
especially in the States where, oh my God, your teachers could use all the money they could get.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think that these are great ideas, especially in the idea like something like a lottery can be taxed at a state or federal level. So I don't know. I just think they need to figure out what they're going to do with it before they dive full in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like some of it here, you know, so that, you know, they could at least put some kind of a crimp in people driving while, you know, stoned out of their gourd and all that kind of thing. So, like, it seems like as some of those things have started to come along, like the attitude has changed and there's a little bit more, I don't know, at least like a vaguely libertarian kind of bent to even like some of the far right that it's just, I think everyone's just kind of realized, like, we're spending a ton of money to lose money. Like, you know, so... Eventually, you know, once we've tried everything else in America, we get wise and do the smart thing. So it seems like, yeah, we're on the pace with that. But it'll be interesting to see how the sports gambling goes, because you just, you know, I mean, anybody who's ever been down to the casino knows the sight of a whole bunch of desperate idiots, like, you know, ruining the last vestiges of their financial future down there. So it'll be
a lingering scent of smoke in the air.
But as long as it doesn't end up, I guess, affecting, you know, play on the field, you know, and you don't have players getting involved in these kind of things, and hopefully all the sports will quickly wise up and get their rule set super tight as far as all that goes. So that there's no loopholes and all that. I don't see any major downside other than for people who would no doubt find some other way to ruin their life. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
I mean, people who are going to gamble are going to find a way to gamble no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. There it is.
Yep.
And as for us, we'll just keep watching this bizarre Tigers team for as long as they can push forward and keep looking respectable like this. It's just
have
peculiar.
Fun. Well, the fun is fun.
Yep. Enjoy the fun while the fun is fun.
It's
our new podcast motto.
My really deep insights into this season for the Tigers is have fun while the fun is fun.
I'll go get that tattooed on a butt cheek as soon as we get out of here.
Charming. That's delightful.
Right.
Oh, Brandon.
I know. So, I think that's brought us to the end.
That is a derriere finale for this episode.
That's right. And if you would like to support both my derriere and the podcast and the site, you can head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Blushy Boys, where we do have a recent podcast. Hey, you shut up at my professionalism. We do appreciate any donations that you guys can make over there. All that really helps us out on the site. And we will have new content coming up there as well. In about 2 weeks, Rob Rojacki, our site editor, and I will record another podcast, and we'll really get into the draft and the farm system, and after letting that breathe a little bit longer. But at the end, this is the end. I'm done now. We're not going to ask anything else.
The end is here.
Ashley, do you have anything you need to sell or promote?
Sell it. Well, I have these nice Tupperware containers that are fine.
Ashley's latest novel? All right.
No, I don't have anything coming out until August, and I'm sure as hell not going to pitch it on a baseball podcast.
Yeah, you should just enjoy the summer. You're going on vacation.
You know what?
Week,
what
right?
the hell? You know what? I will say this. My first book is free right now.
On Amazon?
So it's on free on Amazon right now. So if you're into vampires and or werewolves and or just want to see how terrible/maybe not terrible writing is, my pen name is Sierra Dean, and the first book is Something Secret This Way Comes. It'll be about a half vampire, half werewolf bounty hunter. Yeah, it's like Buffy meets True Blood.
Well, I like the title, though. Yeah,
thank you. So
who
that's
are you playing off of? Something Wicked This Way
Something
Comes.
Wicked
who was
this
that
way comes.
Is that Ray Bradbury?
By the Pricking of My Thumbs. Something
yes.
Wicked This Way Comes. Macbeth.
Oh, well, that too. Yeah.
It's Ray Bradbury wrote.
Yeah,
something.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
But the
you went
the
deeper
OG
though. Good job.
Is Macbeth. but yeah, so I don't know if you're keen, you want a free ebook, that's there. So that's me, you know, hawking my wares.
Yeah, hawk those wares.
But the 9th book in the series comes out in December, so hence the free option.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Right on. Everybody, go check that out. I'm sure you all need beach reading. At some point, hopefully it stays this nice. Other than that, you can follow Ashley at 90 Feet From Home on Twitter and hear about the latest good stuff as far as books go and all of our incredible award-winning Tigers coverage. I just gave us awards. I don't care. It's late. It's the end of the show. And you can follow me if you want to hear, you know, more of my lies and nonsense at Fiscadoro74. And other than that, read our stuff on Bless You Boys. We'll see how things go over this next week. We'll see if the Tigers can take the series from Cleveland on Wednesday, and we will talk to you all next week. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.